You are listening to Everyday Global Anglicans, a podcast produced by GAFCON, Global Anglican Future Conference. This podcast and other resources are made possible by people like you. Please help us to continue making these resources available by visiting us at gafcon.org. GAFCON's mission is to guard the unchanging, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim him to the world. Hello, my name is Ernie Dido, and I'm the Communications Director for GAFCON and the regular host for Everyday Global Anglicans. I'm privileged to bring to you an interview with Archbishop Miguel Uchoa, the GAFCON primate from Recife, Brazil. We're going to talk to him about his testimony, how God is at work in his province, the challenges his province is facing, and how we can be praying for him. I had a chance to see Archbishop Miguel in action when visiting Brazil. I saw him on a late Sunday evening at a local açaí shop. Açaí is like this deep purple berry sherbet in Brazil, and it's just delicious. But even after an intense evening service and a day full of ministry, Archbishop Miguel was fellowshipping and sharing Christ with people in the shop. I discovered that his relational focus on people and sharing the word and building up his leaders is at the core of who he is as a primate. I also learned that, as a wise archbishop, he is careful not to go surfing on the beaches in his hometown of Recife due to shark attacks, but that as a lifelong surfer, he finds other beaches nearby to pursue his pastime.
I was wondering if you could just tell us, give us some background. Who are you and what is your testimony?
I grew up by the beach. I always lived by the beach, so I was a beach boy since I was a baby. My father was his hobby was to fish, so I fished with him all my life. He taught me to be a passionate for the church. So I became a beach boy. Then I went to the university, influenced by that, and did fish engineering, so like a fish biologist. So I'm by formation, I am a fish engineering.
So Recife, is that a surfer's hot spot?
We cannot surf in Recife anymore because there is lots of sharks here, and shark attack became common here. So it's forbidden to surf here. I have to drive half an hour, 40 minutes away to really surf here. And shark attack became common here. So it's forbidden to surf here. I have to drive half an hour, 40 minutes away to really surf here. Well, my background spiritually is my mother was a Christian and my grandmother was a member of the Assembly of God. So my mother came to the Anglican Church when the first pastor came to Recife, an evangelist, and she joined the Anglican Church and stayed there for all her life. And when I was in the university, I started to be in touch with some people from InterVarsity, and I met some of my good friends from the past who has met the Lord, and they started to talk to me about Jesus in the university together with the small Anglican parish that we have in my area. So the use of this small Anglican parish and the InterVarsity ministry at the university showed me the Lord and the gospel, and I met the Lord because of these two influences. So during my whole university course, this was in the beginning of my university season, so I spent my whole time in university doing evangelism, and I keep surfing because I was a surfer and doing evangelism at the beach. So I was a member of the Christian Surfers International. I was even in the council of the International Christian Surfers. So I met the Lord with the influence of InterVarsity and this small, teeny Anglican church in my area. My best friend at the time, he met the Lord before me. Was my buddy, my surf buddy. And he met the Lord first, and I see the change in his life. And he started to share with me and bring me, he brought me to a youth group for the Anglican Church. And I saw this passion of the people and how they, even though they were young people, young adults and teenagers, but they had a real passion in their heart for the Lord. And they, I knew some of them, and they changed their lives. And I said, well, I don't know you, Lord, but I want this, the spiritual revival that these people have, the kind of life that they have, the style of life that they have. And I surrounded in a youth group meeting when in a home, people start to share in the youth group. And someone stand and preach, and that was for me specifically. I was sure of that. And so there I just said to the Lord, I don't know what is this exactly, but I want. And he poured out the Spirit on me, and I found myself on the floor full of tears. And since that day, I'm walking with him.
Tell us about your province. You're the Archbishop of the Anglican province in Brazil, and how is God at work? What is happening?
Well, the province, the young province of the Anglican Church in Brazil is originally was the Diocese of Recife, part of the Episcopal Church in of Brazil, the Episcopal Anglican Church in Brazil. When we left the Episcopal Church, but in a good way to say that, but in fact, we were excommunicated from the Episcopal Church, almost the whole diocese. During the liberal season started to come very strongly here, and the Episcopal Church in Brazil was falling tech always. So we tried to be in, but came to a point that we could not anymore. And we start to stand and say and speak out, and they excommunicated us. We almost all of the clergy and most of the parishes left, and we became just the Diocese of Recife, without a province. Since that time, that was 2005, I think, and we start to work with the International Body of Christ, Anglicans, who have supported us since that time. And then when 2008, when GAFCON was formed in Jerusalem, we came under the primate of GAFCON at that time, overseas by the primate of GAFCON. So our province became GAFCON. Our diocese was Recife, our province became GAFCON. But we start to grow, to plant new churches and expand. And when I became, I was made bishop in 2012, and one of my goals was that we would establish a province in Brazil. But for that, we need to expand, to have a new diocese and plant churches. So we start to had a plan to do that. We did. So we formed three dioceses in a missionary region. We consecrate two new bishops, and 3 years ago, now in May, we'll turn 3 years that we were able to form the province of the Anglican Church in Brazil with three dioceses and around 80 congregations, I think. Wow. Around 80 congregations, but expanding. It's one of our goals is to plant new churches. We had to plant. This is my passion. It's to expand the kingdom. It's expand the church. And plant churches is one of our mainly goals here. Right now, the Diocese of Recife Diocese, which I'm the bishop, we had the expansion plan for three new areas. And we are targeting to have a new diocese soon. I mean, in maybe 2 or 3 years, we form new diocese also. And the new diocese that was formed before, 3 years ago, they are expanding rapidly and planting also new churches. So the province has only 2.5, 3 years now in May, and is the we are the GAFCON province. We totally committed to bring the Anglican Communion back to the Bible, and we preach that. Although we have many challenges, but we still believing that the Lord is with us, and we are the Anglican Church.
Praise God. You know, one of the things I had the privilege of being down there and visiting, and one of the things that I noted was your relationship with your bishops, and what is happening is absolutely by no accident, of course, led by the Holy Spirit, but your relationship with your bishops, it's the word I use is actually, it's tender, between you and, for instance, Bishop Marcio, and how the two of you, you know, it's like a father and son relationship. And to me, it's the model of how it really it should be. And I think it's evident in how that passes on from Marcio to his pastors that are working with him, and then spread through the congregation, and seeing that relationship. It's all about relationships for you, isn't it?
You know, I think that we are rescuing the real sense of the real office of a bishop. Since the beginning, the bishop ought to be the father of fathers. So we're trying to do that. And it's a new, I'm sad to say that, but it's almost a counterculture in the church today. But it is the real culture to develop. The bishop not as a bureaucrat administrator, but a friend and a person who shares and who takes care of his almost offspring. I'll say people who we generate this.
What are the, you had mentioned there are challenges. What are the challenges?
Some challenges now. Is the first one is to expand the province itself to the whole country. We have churches in the southmost area of Brazil and almost in the northmost area. But in the middle of that, we need to expand. And so plant church is one of our target and challenges also. For that, we need to form the clergy and the missionaries. So one of the blessings that I can share with you now in our province is, because of the pandemic, we used to have 3 seminaries. Each diocese has 1 theological college. And during the pandemic, we had to do Zoom classes and everything. But I had a sense of a national seminar, and I shared with the bishops, and we said, let's establish a provincial seminary. And this week we started the provincial seminary. And
this week,
and last Monday, we have the first class. The provincial seminary is all online, totally online. It's a great platform for online classes and developing. Everything is professional, very well done. And the great thing is we are getting almost 300 students registering for the seminary. For sure, this is not only people that go or would become pastors or what, but we are trying to develop a culture of that everybody needs to study. So leadership, we motivate in the leadership to stimulate the leadership to be at the seminar, to be at the college. So we have almost 300 students now. That's a great, great, great thing. So we can think about expand, because we're training our people from South Brazil, North Brazil, West Brazil, not east, because East Brazil is the ocean. But crossing the ocean, and the other, the missionary challenge is the Portuguese Africa countries. We are associated with Saddleback Church, with Pastor Rick Warren and the Peace Plan. And we are doing the Peace Plan establishment here for international, for Africa. They have a Portuguese Africa Reach Out program, so we are part of that. And we're starting with Bissau, as you know, with Guinea-Bissau. So we send a missionary there, now he is back. But the work there is growing. We have a couple missionaries, a couple, which is a missionary there. And the work there is growing. But we still have Angola, Mozambique, and other countries, Portuguese speakers, that we can help them to reach them, reach these Portuguese countries there with the gospel. But we are associated with a Saddleback Peace Plan, which is very good. It is very, very special for us. So this is overseas. And it's very beginning also. We, 1 year or more that we are doing that. But you know what? It's the first ever Anglican development in Guinea-Bissau. It's the first ever. And come from Brazil, so we're very glad there.
Yeah, you had mentioned that you had mentioned COVID and the pandemic and struggles with that. Would you care to share about your struggles with COVID?
Struggles with COVID is to close the churches, no services, and what to do. So we never imagined that we would be almost 10 months without a presential service. But we managed to develop a streaming system. We invest in new cameras, that other stuff, to make the service the best possible. And I would say that we not only survived the quarantine, because the pandemic still on, but the quarantine is finished. So we overcome, and we even grow. I had in some of our churches had confirmation of new members. When we say confirmation here in Brazil, we say adults, not junior high or kids. We talk about adults, young adults and adults. We had many churches doing confirmation. I had to confirm in my own churches. I think it was almost 70 new members during this 10 months, which is very special. So that, it was a big challenge, but you know, we're still challenging financially. It's, you can imagine it. It is a big challenge. But the Lord has been faithful as usual, and we never miss one single penny. We pay our bills, we pay everything, and we're still investing because of the grace of God. The cell groups grew, new ministries show up. We have a prayer meeting that used to have 10 people at the church. We're doing this by Zoom now, by meeting, and we have around 100 people every Tuesday, 6 o'clock in the morning. Just to give you an idea, 6 from 7 in the morning on Tuesday, we have around 100 people online praying as a body of Christ. So it was a big challenge, but many things, good things happen also. We personally, me and Giuliani, we got COVID, but praise the Lord, was light symptoms. We didn't have any problem. We recovered. But it was a big challenge, but I see, there is a book that I read that see, you see bones, I see an army. It's like you see ruins, I see blessings. I see many blessings also in this.
Well, I would like to end this time thanking you again, Archbishop, for joining us this morning. It having been there, it's exciting, encouraging, but listening to you share it brings back all the memories, and I'm hoping that people can sense that excitement that is happening. You know, it some what's to me at all levels. I mean, yes, you're growing and you're expanding and you're planting churches, but you're training. It's not just a mile wide and an inch deep. No, there's discipleship. There's real discipleship happening and real training and studying of the word. It's just so exciting to hear and see.
You have been listening to the Everyday Global Anglicans podcast produced by GAFCON. Please visit gafcon.org to learn more about the many resources and work of GAFCON as we proclaim Christ faithfully.